Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
The emotional narrative is the driver of society today, not principle, not right and wrong, not even law, emotion. And Jack Kevorkian caught that, and he ran with it.
Social conservatives in this country are with one voice saying, Israel today, Israel tomorrow, and Israel forever.
The church has taught for millennia that these promises made to Israel really had their ultimate fulfillment in Christ.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices and contemporary worship styles down the line.
They are the kinds of sins that stay with you for a lifetime. The guilt felt over these things can begin in youth, that is, in our teenage years, where the temptation begins and the sins begin, but they can last an entire lifetime. They can also, well, in the words of our first guest today, they can get their hooks in you deeper than other kinds of sins. We'll find out why as we talk about forgiveness for sexual sins here on Issues Etc. this Wednesday afternoon, June the 15th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Walt Snyder will be our guest for the first half hour or so. After that, on this Wednesday, Pastor Nathan Dudley joins us, part two of a four-part weekly series we're doing with him on Christ in the Old Testament. Today we're going to talk about Christ in the flood account. There's a lot of baptism there, an awful lot of baptism there to talk about with Pastor Dudley. In the second hour of the program, Scott Thuma of the Hartford Institute for Religion Research will join us. The news lately out of Orange County is that the Crystal Cathedral, one of the nation's first and most famous megachurches out there in California, is selling its property and its campus to an Orange County developer. They have debts to pay. They hope to get the property back soon through an arrangement with that developer and get their financial ship righted. We'll see what Scott thinks about that latest development with the Crystal Cathedral in the second hour of the program. Then we're going to spend the remainder of that second hour with Joe Dallas of Genesis Counseling. We're going to talk about bullying, violence, and Christian teaching about homosexuality. He's written the cover story for the latest Christian research journal titled The Bully Pulpit: When Gay Teens Commit Suicide, Are Preachers to Blame? Walt Snyder is our guest. He writes devotions, prayers, and sermons for Concordia Publishing House, and he's author of an article in a recent issue of Higher Things magazine titled Born Again Virgins. Walt, welcome back.
Good to be back, Todd.
You say that sexual sins can get their hooks into us deeper than other kinds of sins. What do you mean, and why?
Well, part of it goes to what St. Paul says about the sexual sins being sins against our own bodies, but it's more than just a self-inflicted wound. It's that sex is, like so many other things in life, a wonderfully pleasurable activity. And so even when things are done outside of God's plan and God's design, there's still a tremendous amount of pleasure, which means that it becomes, if not more addictive, at least much more likely that we're going to return to such sins again. That you may know consequences, you may dread consequences, but at the same time, there's usually some sort of immediate and quite enjoyable payoff.
So it can have that kind of recidivism that we find with so many sexual sins, something that a Christian really does want to avoid, really does want to resist, but finds himself or herself falling into again and again.
Right. Well, like the pop song from back in the 80s said, I want a new drug. I mean, this is in part the hormones that God gave us speaking to our brains, speaking to our bodies, and saying, I can give you more. And that promise is there, and it's realized, but at the same time, as we start looking at it, it's also an empty promise, because like so many other things that are good, they're not good all the time and in all situations.
It's a sin that is not exclusive to, but is often common to young people. You mentioned hormones already, but it's something that certainly is not exclusive to that age group. It often begins there, and I think you're right when you note in your article that Christians can sometimes have that sense of guilt over sins committed decades ago because of misspent youth with respect to this. Talk about that, if you would, from a pastoral perspective.
That's something that anybody who has done any pastoral counseling or any Christian who has a good understanding of law and gospel and the human condition runs across in their own lives and in the lives of other people on a regular basis. We have memories that are incapable of releasing all of the things that are stored there. Even if it's a sin that's completely forgiven, we trust completely in that forgiveness. Certain situations, certain times can dredge that memory up, and our own human weakness coupled with the assaults of Satan start attaching a new negative value to that, where the debt has been paid and we start worrying about paying it all over again. The forgiveness is free, full, and complete, but we still start feeling concerns for ourselves or for the ones who have been hurt by us. And maybe that's where it's in its most extreme, is that if somebody else is also affected by whatever it is we've done wrong, because then we start feeling a correct obligation for our neighbor that then starts turning into an incorrect guilt over a sin that's already forgiven, and we start trying to make amends for something that has already been mended, and the cycle can keep coming back and repeating over and over. I use the illustration sometimes about somebody with a suitcase full of sin. We are willing to hand that to God, but we're not willing to take our own hand off that handle all the time.
Another insidious part about this, and I think Satan uses it to his advantage when both tempting and when dredging up old and already forgiven sin to reacquaint us with that guilt, and that is the secret nature of some of this. It's private matters. It is something that is often behind closed doors and only between two people. Therefore, I wonder, does the secretive nature of some of these sins add to that accumulating guilt?
I think so, and some of it goes back to how pleasurable it is. So the greater the high, the lower the low, if you're looking at it in a roller coaster situation. The more I liked it, the worse it must have been, is in ways sometimes kind of a perverse way of looking at it. Part of it is the society that we grow up in. Every part of the world has some good teachings on sex and some bad teachings on sex, and it seems like America has become a melting pot of a lot of those, and so there were undue burdens, and sex was made to be dirty in some people's minds, even when it was in the heart of marriage and in a completely chaste and loving relationship, and that probably makes it even worse, but it keeps burrowing in. It's part of who we are, and it's something that we just don't want to talk about because, as you said, it is such a personal and a private thing. We're more willing to, especially in detail, in front of our confessors, in front of God himself, talk in more detail about just about anything else than sexual sin. I think some people would rather confess to a murder or a drug deal or something like that than what you would say in some people's minds is a fairly benign sexual sin.
So it has this, rightly or wrongly, it has a unique quality of shame attached to it.
It does. There's a tremendous emotional baggage that's in there, and the shame is sometimes not there at all, but when it's there, it's usually magnified beyond the shame that we feel at other sins.
It also comes up, I think, from a pastoral perspective, it comes up at a time of marriage. Often two people who decide to finally settle down and be exclusive and get married deeply regret previous sexual sins because of what they so earnestly desire out of marriage, the good gift of sex out of marriage. Talk about that.
That's there, and that's, you've probably seen it at times where people want to have a clean slate. But if the sins are forgiven and forgotten, they don't need to be brought up in some time of, well, I did this, I'm sorry for it, and now you're the only one for me. There are things that are of the past that need to stay of the past. And really, more than that, there are things that in God's mind never happen. And in our minds also, we need to pray that he helps us develop the same sort of amnesia that he develops toward those of us who he's forgiven, where we can strictly point forward. I talked with the younger kids of Higher Things, the whole becoming one flesh picture that Paul has, and who wants to join in one flesh with a prostitute and all of those things. I said it's as if we start to bond physically almost, and when we tear apart all of these sexual relationships, we leave debris of our own sinful flesh behind within the people who we have had sex with and moved on. And those little parts there are missing from our lives, but they're also then festering in and cluttering up the lives of other people. It's a cross-contamination that we as a society, we as human beings participate in. And you can't just cover that up. You can't just talk it away. It has to be completely cleansed and removed at the source, which is Jesus Christ. It has to be purged. And the whole new heart that we get in forgiveness then allows us to move away from our old sinful hearts that have been involved in liaisons that were not right for us, that were not permanent, that were not part of God's plan for us.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about forgiveness for sexual sins. Pastor Schneider has mentioned God's divine amnesia. How can that be? And yet Scripture makes it quite clear that God forgives these sins and moves them so far from us and from his remembrance that it is divine amnesia. Does that mean that in God's eyes, from God's perspective, and it really is the only perspective that ultimately counts, even those who have committed sexual sins in the past can be, again, in God's eyes, pure, virginal? We'll answer that question after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
The Concordia Catechetical Academy presents its annual symposium on catechesis in Waukesha, Wisconsin, June 15th through the 17th. This year's theme, the third article of the Creed, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Pastors Peter Bender, Christopher Esket, Peter Scare, Rick Stuckwish, and Dean Taylor make presentations on private confession and absolution, Jesus' catechesis on the Holy Spirit, and what it means to confess one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Register online at peacesussex.org.
Back to Issues, Etc. In about 10 minutes, Pastor Nathan Dudley will join us for part two of a four-part weekly series on Christ in the Old Testament. Last week we talked about Christ in creation. Today, building upon that conversation, Christ in the flood account. In the meantime, Pastor Walt Snyder is our guest. We're talking about forgiveness for sexual sins on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 15th. Walt, you mentioned a term before, divine amnesia. Is that truly descriptive of how God views us and forgets our sins when these sins are forgiven in Christ Jesus?
It has to be. The picture of how things, the old Adam is drowned and died in Romans, or how our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. And we were sort of taking off from 1 Corinthians 6:18, which was talking about the sin against your own body in there. And you look in that chapter, and Paul is talking to people who had done all of these things. Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Well, if you look at those things specifically, you've pretty much summarized the entire two tables of the law and have caught just about everybody, at least with things like reviling through gossip and talking people down with drunkards and drug use and the like. Paul has very quickly said everybody is going to go to hell. There is no way out of it. And yet, right after that, and such were some of you. And you start getting more specific. Finally, were all of us. But yet he says, I am talking to people who are completely holy. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. God cannot tolerate any evil in his presence, and the very memory of it is abhorrent to him. He allows himself not to see any of it, because all he sees is his perfect and holy Son, Jesus, when he looks at us as believers in Christ.
So how does it work for the believer, then, who says, look, there are some things that can't be undone? It was done. I remember it. I have vivid memories of this sexual sin, and it's going to be with me forever. How do I view myself the way God views me with respect to that sin forgiven?
It's not like lying to ourselves, but it's perhaps avoidance is the right thing right here, in that we shift our focus away, because what's happening there is a very subtle temptation to look at ourselves. The whole picture that we have of Luther, of man in himself, in curvatus est, curved in on himself, it's the navel gaze, and you'll find the answer within yourself. No, you will find sin and death within yourself. You have to be straightened up by God from that bowed position so that you can look at Jesus and not at yourself. The emphasis here, as it is in everything, is to look at the perfect and holy Son of God who did not fall into sexual sin. And we don't have the specifics of every sin that Jesus was tempted with. Really, besides the things that happen around the Passion, all we have is the few brief words from the wilderness at the beginning of his ministry. But if he was tempted in all ways as we were, yet without sin, that means that as far as it is possible, Jesus experienced the temptation to sexual sin, and he overcame it. I doubt it was as in the last temptation of the Christ, which I think was sometimes falsely reviled, because he was willing to look honestly at the fact that in the incarnation, Jesus would have had feelings for people in all the ways that God designed and intended his people to have feelings, but he did not act on those in an inappropriate manner, because that was not what he was called to do. We have that then. He lived for us, so we need to stop looking at how we failed God and rather look at how Jesus succeeded for us. And it's an ongoing, progressive, every day I start to look at me, I need to turn my eyes away and look to Jesus. It's intentional, it's deliberate, and it, for our parts, because we are still weak and burdened by the flesh and by the memory, will probably never be a perfect healing in our own minds. But when the scar starts to show, when the wound starts to open, we can pour that same Jesus on it and find that healing that we received at the time we were first forgiven.
Then let's talk about chastity, the sixth commandment as we count it, the commandment against adultery. Is one that not only forbids adultery and all sorts of sexual sin to people of all ages and stations in life, but commands chastity. What is it?
Well, chastity is not abstinence. Chastity is the proper practice of whatever vocation we have, whether married or single, whether at a time and a place where we should be together, or as the scriptures say, by mutual consent, remaining apart for a time. But chastity is honoring the gift of sexuality that God gave us and offering it up to Him as a thank offering, as, if you will, a sacrifice according to our position, our station, who we are and who we're with. It means doing those things which not only honor the body that God gave to us, but also the body that God put in our life, the man or the woman who we are with now and who, God willing, we will spend the rest of our lives with.
You say near the end of your article, Pastor Snyder, and it says, you can call on Him to grant you the strength to continue in your new standing as a quote-unquote born-again virgin, as well as born-again truth-teller, born-again neighbor, lover, born-again God-fearer. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Does God view us in Christ as, in that sense, virginal, perfect keepers of the sixth commandment?
Yes, the tally sheet is erased because He counts us as honest and loving and kind. He counts us as faithful and honorable and trustworthy. And like we've talked about all the way through here, we dwell sometimes more on the sexual sins. But other people have other chronic repeating sins that are the same thing. And when we fall, it's not through intent and not through plan, it's through the weakness. But for all those, right across the board, the healing is absolute and complete. You are either wrong or you're right. You're either a sinner or a saint. We know that in our Lutheran understanding of the scriptures, we are both a sinner and a saint. But that's what we are in the state where we live. But we cannot come into the presence with even the faintest touch of sin, and God makes the choice to see us only as perfect and holy through the sacrifice of Jesus and our belief in that atonement, so that He can welcome us into His presence now in prayer and supplication and in eternity in our new life that we are putting on now and that will be given fullness in the resurrection.
So several quick and final questions. To the person who is struggling with past sins, they now, let's say for the sake of argument, they're now married, and insofar as they're able, they live a chaste life, they are faithful to their spouse, but they still struggle with the guilt over those previous past sexual sins. What is your pastoral word to them?
Be very, very, very careful about saying anything to the person you're with. If you have to talk about it with your pastor. And talk, because there you're talking about it with God. You're not bringing things. If the two of you together judge that finally something must be said, your pastor can also help you in how it's said. But most of the time, what's happening right there is, again, Satan's attempt to destroy a marriage. Not just your life and working that guilt in there, but to get leverage your guilt into the destruction of this Eden-created relationship between man and woman that Satan did his best to damage in the garden and from generation to generation has continued to do. So you need to make sure that your strength and your healing and your needs for those things don't spill over in a way that damages the person with whom you're living and the relationship that has been forged between the two of you.
Then finally, your pastoral word to a listener who is currently struggling against sexual sin.
It's not easy, but it can be overcome. You need, as in everything else, first of all, to realize the severity of it. Just, well, I can handle the guilt is not a good way to progress. But you need to realize that if there is a feeling of guilt, it's there for a reason. It's wrong. It's either a sin or it's a blessed and loving act within our vocations. And if it's a sin, you need to realize that it is a damning sin, a sin that will send you to hell if you persist in it with your callous disregard for God. But at the same time, when you do realize that, when you know how wrong it is. You need to take up the struggle in the companionship of the church with your pastor, with those who have struggled longer and mightier than you have, perhaps, with those who have been through those wars, and because the hormones do fade, because life is redirected and rechanneled in other ways also, with the veterans of the war who can lead some of the young troops through to the other side without suffering as many wounds as maybe they suffered, but always remembering that Jesus felt those stirrings, felt those passions, but his overwhelming passion was for you, and he resisted even the godly things, such as marriage and family in his earthly life, so that he could marry the entire church and have that as a divine family forever. He gave up the pleasure that sex brings you right now because he had a greater pleasure in bringing you through these sins into a perfect life that awaits you.
Pastor Walt Snyder writes devotions, prayers, and sermons for Concordia Publishing House. He authored an article in a recent issue of Higher Things magazine titled Born Again Virgins. You'll find a link to his Ask the Pastor blog under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Walt, thank you.
Thank you, and God bless the work that you continue to do there.
When we come back, Pastor Nathan Dudley, part two of our four-part weekly series on Christ in the Old Testament.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A Green Party candidate in Canada recently said something sad. During a debate, Roger Benham said he was sick to death of hearing about the abortion issue. He admitted to impregnating a woman earlier in life. The candidate then said, "Thank God we decided to get rid of it." The Green Party has a radical pro-abortion position. Party leader Elizabeth May said she considers herself very militant when it comes to abortion. The death of Roger Benham's unborn child may not keep him up at night, but the pain's very real for millions of fathers who've lost a child to abortion. If you're one of those men, I want you to know you're not alone and there's help. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. We'll get you access to free, confidential counseling.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.